As was mentioned, the sermon this afternoon is on the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. And let's first read from Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, where we are also shown an example of faithfulness and also unfaithfulness. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. A parable where Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Of thy Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed or scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have that is yours.' His Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not scattered. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that who has 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So far the scripture reading. And Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, we're on number 7, where Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and now faith," or faithfulness, as we will explain in the sermon. The subject of the sermon this afternoon is the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. As we continue with our series on this subject, on this theme. 2 more sermons after this on this theme. The prayer with this message this afternoon, dear congregation belonging to Christ, is that as a result of the sermon, each one of us will sincerely ask God for this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness in our lives. And that we will diligently pursue after this in our lives, faithfulness. To that end, as God's ambassador before you, what I intend to do is simply hold before you something of the beauty of this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. To have you observe it with me. What a fruit this is, really. I stand before you, in other words, this afternoon, not in the name of the serpent promoting forbidden fruit, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ promoting Christian fruit. The fruit isn't forbidden fruit, the fruit of faithfulness, but it's fruit we are called to cultivate and are encouraged to show forth, and it's fruit divinely offered to us. I pray God so to bless His Word and by His Spirit that we all, as it were, take and eat this fruit of faithfulness, and that it be something That's an unmistakable and blessed reality in each of our lives. The King James lists this seventh mentioned fruit of the Spirit as the fruit faith. And this can also be the translation of the word. And it's important in translating the word, as most commentaries and most versions also translate the word, that it never be lost, that it's in connection with faith. Faithfulness in connection with faith, or faith that results in faithfulness. All commentators almost agree, including the Synod of Dort Bible translation, that the word in its context here refers to faith in fullness of exercise. Faith not only as belief in God, but faith lived out in our lives. In trusting God and following after Him. Someone said it well, saying, faith in Galatians 5:22 refers not only to trusting in Christ, but also in living in Christ-like trustworthiness. Living out the life of faith in the way of faithfulness. True faith, worked by God's grace and Spirit, will show itself in the way of living out the faith in faithful ways. Otherwise, as the book of James also tells us very clearly, it's not true faith at all. Faith without works is dead. And Paul speaks in Galatians 5, verse 6, of faith which works by love. That's true faith. Interestingly, the Greek Septuagint version, or translation of Lamentations 3:23, where the prophet says of God, "Great is thy faithfulness." The word faithfulness there, in the Greek, is the exact same word as in our text, Galatians 5:22. And the point here is, where there is true faith, it shows itself in this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness in all of life. A true Christian is a person who trusts Christ and His Word, and who also becomes known as trustworthy in word and deed. This Christian fruit of faithfulness is never separated from faith in Christ, but always linked to Christ, and something that is drawn from Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is an acknowledging of divine things, including the claims of Christianity on our lives, which shows up then in our lives in the way of honesty, integrity, uprightness, dependability, faithfulness, trustworthiness, reliability. It's all about being a man of your word, because you are living in the light of God's word. When you have this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, you are a person who lives trusting Christ and reflecting Christ's trustworthiness in all your lives, before God and man, at home, at work, at school, and you name it. Also in church. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. We see this fruit in the believing psalmist of Psalm 119, who had the hearty desire and resolve to live truly and steadfastly by all God's precepts in all His ways. So we will sing later on from Psalter 334, "Thy precepts are my heritage, for daily day my heart rejoice. To keep Thy statutes faithfully shall ever be my willing choice." That's the language of a child of God having the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Well, now, in the remainder of the sermon, I will give 5 grand truths about this fruit that I trust will leave us all reaching out for it by God's grace. Do you agree with me? For one, this is such a needed fruit, this fruit of faithfulness, this fruit of the Spirit. How much and how often this fruit is lacking in people's lives and in our times. I don't think I have to tell you that. I'm sure we live in a world where there is so much unfaithfulness on so many fronts. Unfaithfulness in the marriage and family life. Unfaithfulness in work matters and contracts. Unfaithfulness in school responsibilities. Unfaithfulness in church life. Unfaithfulness in promises made and the roles we have. It's a sad fact in our day. Unfaithfulness is all too common. Who can you trust today, we say sometimes. No one's sticking to the word, it seems like. All too many in our world don't live in true faith before God, sadly. And too many who say that they do, even more sadly, don't live lives that reflect Christ-like trustworthiness and faithfulness, reliability in all their relationships and responsibilities in life. Don't we all know people who, when a certain commitment made and promise made doesn't quite suit them anymore, they seem not to hesitate at all to just break from those commitments and those promises made and do their own thing instead. Unfaithfulness in family life, society life, work life, and church life is disruptive and distressful, dismaying, hurtful, troublesome, and discouraging. Unfaithfulness is a blot, it's a curse as a result of sin and so much self-centered living and thinking. It contributes, unfaithfulness does, to the breaking down and the weakening of family and church and society on every front. People who won't be honest, who don't follow through on their word, who are not trustworthy, who don't say what they mean nor mean what they say. People you can't count on or rely on. It's so sad. It's so wrong. It's so God dishonoring. Faithfulness, who will not agree, is something so needed in our lives for real and lasting blessings in life. Spiritually too, in the Christian life, how needed is this fruit of faithfulness. Doesn't every true believer know this and realize this? The call to be faithful in our ways, in all our thoughts and words and deeds before God and man. Faithful to God's word, faithful in our responsibilities and relationships. How urgent, constant, routine, steadfast faithfulness is. How easy too for us, any one of us, to begin going down the road of unfaithfulness. It can start in a small way. It mostly does. Unfaithful in prayer. Unfaithful in Bible reading. Unfaithful in keeping one promise. Before you know it, you become unfaithful in all kinds of other ways. Unfaithfulness permitted can begin also as confessing Christians in a very small way or matter. But soon enough, it becomes something more or less characteristic in our lives, in all kinds of ways, with all kinds of relationships. Are you living as an unfaithful person in any way at all, privately or publicly even? Jesus teaches us in Luke 16, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Unfaithfulness, you can say, is what we demonstrate by nature as sinners. It's our natural inclination not to be faithful in the long run, at least if it's no longer convenient to us. If I should ask all of you here, if you have reason to confess unfaithfulness in any respect towards anyone in any matter, is there any one of us who could stand up and say, Pastor, I am not unfaithful in any respect regarding anyone or anything? I don't think there is. But let me just expand on this. What about cleaning up your room? Ooh, that hurts, some of you. You haven't been faithful with that, even though your mom has asked you for quite a while. What about faithfulness in physical exercise, in devotions, in prayer, in tithing, in memory work, in in your word to your spouse, in your promise to your children, in your commitment to God and His church. Faithfulness. Isn't it true, even as Christians, when you so much want to be a faithful person, who of us still doesn't need to confess to so much unfaithfulness so often? Unfaithfulness still yet in all kinds of ways, often again in small ways, which we so easily like to convince ourselves doesn't matter much, but always proves to matter more than we realize. We can't afford really to be unfaithful in anything with anyone, can we? And still call ourselves confessing Christians? Are you convicted and convinced too what a needed fruit this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is? Do you recognize it as a needed fruit in your life as well? And does this fact draw you to our text and to the Spirit, to God revealed in our text, and make you reach out to Him and to pray to Him and to ask Him and to follow after Him also for this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness? In Psalm 12, verse 1, the believing psalmist cries out to God, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." That's way back then. That's true in our times as well, isn't it? Faithfulness. It's so needed in our times and in our lives, and too often lacking even in the Christian church. Will you in your life, whether younger or older, will you be one who adds to the plague of unfaithfulness in this world? Or will you be one shining as a gem by God's grace in the way of faithfulness before God and man? In the Bible history, we are given examples of people who stood out as such examples of faithfulness in an unfaithful world and church. And one of those examples is Daniel. Daniel. I can't help but think of the words of a song I learned too, is a children's song. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Yes, standing by a purpose true. Heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, by God's grace. All hail to Daniel's band. True men of God are faithful. True women of God are faithful. True youth are faithful. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Oh, this fruit is so needed. Is it needed by you? Is it something you care about, pray about, pursue after? To be most faithful to God and others in all your relationships and responsibilities in life. The opposite of faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Will anyone here have that characterize your life in any way? God forbid. I thought I would just write in my sermon 5 categories of where we are at in regards to faithfulness. Where would you fit? 1, unfaithful mostly. 2, hardly faithful. 3, generally faithful. 4, mostly faithful. 5, so very faithful. Which category do you want to be in? When we have the fruit of the Spirit, we know we should be in that so very faithful by God's grace. But maybe at this point, you are agreeing with what's all been said, but you're in some despair. Because, well, you struggle. Honestly, you struggle with this fruit of faithfulness in every way and truly showing it as you might and should. But that brings me to our next truth about this fruit of faithfulness. Another reason to be so drawn to this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, is not only because it's so needed, but consider how it's something given. It's given. It's given fruit, graciously given by God as Savior and Lord. In coming to this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, the last thing I should do as preacher, and I praise God that I don't have to do it, is admonish all of us and urge all of us to realize our duty more to be faithful and to show faithfulness in all our life. and please everyone. Get with it. Pull up your socks and just be more faithful now, won't you? Oh, to urge for more faithfulness on our part, in our own strength, with our own resolve, is something that repeatedly proves so fruitless and vain and disappointing. Human resolutions to be faithful and more faithful in the way the Bible means it is something that falls flat and dead from the start on our own. Even Toronto Mayor Ford would admit this, if honest. For the natural man born in sin is incapable of a life of Christian faithfulness before God and man. As sinners by nature, we're not carried to be faithful. But you see, here's where our text is so precious. For it tells us the gospel, declaring the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. This fruit is given fruit for all who ask and humbly and genuinely rely on God also for this fruit. Having the Spirit of God in you by God's grace and praying for His gospel ministry in us, this fruit of faithfulness will also be there and be growing in our lives. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Remember? And you know how the Spirit works this fruit in our lives? On the one hand, by showing us all our unfaithfulness by nature before God and man, and the great sinfulness and shamefulness of that. What a miserable, ugly stream of unfaithfulness before God and man flows from each of our lives by nature. The Holy Spirit, when He works, also this fruit of faithfulness in your and my life, He makes it so that you become sorry of any and all unfaithfulness in your life. Instead of just not caring about your unfaithfulness or simply excusing it or blaming it always on others or comparing yourself to others and saying, hey, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. No, when the Spirit works, the fruit of the Spirit, also faithfulness, you begin to cry out and long for true faithfulness because you see the sin in your unfaithfulness. You long for more, not only of God's forgiveness, but of His sanctifying grace, and for more of His faithfulness before God and our neighbor in all our duties and relationships. When the Holy Spirit shows us from God's Word, especially too in the light of Jesus Christ, the once crucified and risen and exalted Savior, something of God's faithfulness to us in and through Him, you become convicted and motivated in the way of faithfulness. When you see God's faithfulness, it makes you cry in sorrow for your unfaithfulness. And you long for that faithfulness of God, not only for your salvation, but in your life to His praise. When you are shown by God through His Spirit and Word all the sparkling, unending, superb faithfulness of God triune towards sinners like us in Christ Jesus, it becomes something amazing and attractive to you. And you say, great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Great is Your faithfulness, even for such an undeserving sinner like me. Such a faithful person as I am. And you pray, O God, not only be merciful to me, a sinner, but please sanctify me and make me like holy as You are holy and faithful as You are faithful. The Holy Spirit works this fruit of faithfulness in His people's lives, conforming us to the image of Christ, even as we feed on Christ and ever look to Him and depend on Him for all our salvation and sanctification and glorification. I read to Jeanette Miller this week, who was rather down, from Psalm 56, where God says, where the psalmist says, Thy vows are upon me. And that text means God's faithfulness is pledged to us in Christ Jesus. You know, ultimately, the Christian faith isn't about our vows to God. Vows to us. That's what sustains us. That's what maintains us. That's what blesses us and gives hope for us. My point is, it is a gift, the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. It's a free gift that our most faithful God gives and works in our lives by His transforming power, through His gospel word, and by His Spirit, even as you and I ask for this fruit and abide in Him and His word. The more anyone looks to Christ and genuinely depends on Him and marvels at His faithfulness and calls to Him for His saving, transforming, sin-removing power, the more also surely this fruit of faithfulness will become evident in your and my life. Yes, we must make resolves to be more faithful. But don't look to yourself for this fruit of faithfulness, for nothing will come of it then. And what seems like a new start will simply sputter to nothing very quickly again. How much in our lives we start with a spurt, and then it's bygone history again, and we're back where we started. Who of us doesn't relate to that? But I guarantee you, come empty-handed as an undeserving, unreliable person in yourself, unfaithful of yourself before God, every day anew, asking for this fruit of faithfulness from God triune Himself, and it will be found in you and your life. It will shine through by God's grace. And thinking too of God's immeasurable, astounding faithfulness in all His ways as God of creation, and God of providence, and God of salvation, and how He's always absolutely, totally, perfectly true and faithful to all His word. Oh, then we learn from the Holy Spirit what true faithfulness before God and man really means. Don't measure faithfulness by comparing yourself to others or by going by the world standards, but by God's unbending standards and His unending faithfulness. When the Spirit gives this fruit of faithfulness, He makes us never content with any measure of our faithfulness, but longing always to have a faithfulness reflecting God's faithfulness. And this makes the most faithful Christian here on earth never smug in his life, but always still humble before God and man, and reaching to God for more and more of this fruit of faithfulness in his or her life before God and man. The fruit of faithfulness, and this is so needed fruit, it's a freely given fruit in and through Jesus Christ, who was faithful even unto death, the death of the cross, in His saving work on sinners' behalf. In gracious faithfulness, the Savior promises and pledges to give us all we ask from Him. Yes, also when you ask for this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Over and over in the Bible, and history proves, God is faithful in all His works and ways. And we read in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, that all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us or through us. In other words, God's faithfulness reaches to the clouds and remains steadfast in all generations. The Bible declares, you can summarize the whole Bible as the story of God's faithfulness in spite of all our unfaithfulness. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:13, even if we believe not or live unfaithfully, yet He, the Lord our God, remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Is it a fruit you need in any way, big or small? And is it a fruit you will receive graciously and freely from God's hand, asking daily for it from His bountiful supply? If this sermon only will bring this result, that you and I pray more truly and repeatedly for the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, and for truly and increasingly trusting in Christ and showing Christ-like trustworthiness in all our life, oh, then it will be a sermon with grand results that will be so noticeable in all our lives. Will you pray personally today for yourself at some point. Lord, for Jesus' sake and to your praise and my neighbor's good, please give me too this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Dear congregation, if as your pastor I can be most honest with you for a moment, let me share with you something of myself, which I tell you now from the bottom of my heart. I can't guarantee to you in myself that I will be faithful in my marriage and to my family until death. I can't promise to you either that as a confessing Christian, I will for sure always be faithful in the Christian doctrine and life till death. Sure, even as your minister, that I will be a faithful Bible preacher here or wherever till death. No, I can't rely a single moment on anything of myself for true and steadfast faithfulness in God's ways before God and man. And I know this of myself. I am prone to stumble and fall and am easily capable of much unfaithfulness on many fronts left to myself. But this also is what makes me also call out to God daily, you see. Lord, faith by nature into a faithful, fruitful branch of the vine. Please, Lord, be so merciful to me every day, indeed, each hour and minute and every second of my life. There's no other way I, faithful and fruitful, will ever be and remain to your praise and for the good of others. So you understand when I am preaching this afternoon, this sermon, I'm preaching it just as much for myself, as I'm bringing this word to you now. And truly, this is such an encouraging message, for the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, something so needed, is for Jesus' sake also freely offered and graciously given us, even as we humbly call on the Lord also for this fruit in our lives. Do you too need this fruit, and will you ask for it and keep on asking the Lord for this fruit of faithfulness in your life too? Starting even as a child, dear children, pray that you be faithful. Faithful to the covenant upbringing, the word that you're being raised in. And as you get older, and when we're old people, pray that we'll be faithful still. Just like Daniel, who was faithful from his youth to his old age. To hold out more reasons yet so to pray for this fruit of faithfulness, consider next what a positive fruit this is, our third point. What a positive fruit, this fruit of faithfulness. I mean here, who doesn't know what a strength and a beauty and stability and encouragement and blessing flows from out of people demonstrating faithfulness before God and each other in the details of life and in all our relationships in life. How God-honoring and respectful is faithfulness. Whereas how God-dishonoring and disrespectful towards others is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness, you can say, is so negative. It's discouraging. But faithfulness is so positive. It's upbuilding. Unfaithfulness brings so many to tears. But faithfulness brings on so much cheer. Unfaithfulness results in so much extra needless cost often, even literally. Whereas faithfulness results in so much amazing savings often, again, even literally. Faithfulness in life is something charming. It's life-promoting. It's upbuilding, whereas unfaithfulness is something alarming and shows ugly self-centeredness. The success of marriage and family and prosperity in work and business and blessings in and growth in church life and in the Christian life are very related to this fruit of faithfulness, Where it is found, the effects and the impact becomes tremendous. But where it is lacking and not pursued, the results are dismal and devastating often. So why not ask for and pursue after and resolve for this fruit of faithfulness, being someone who truly trusts Christ and someone who truly will be trustworthy and a person of your word in all your life as well? Let me give you one example here of faithfulness over against unfaithfulness that illustrates how positive faithfulness is. I'm thinking here of the story told in a book entitled A Vow to Cherish. Maybe some of you know the book. It's also been made into a movie. And it tells the true story of a couple who were happily married. But then the wife, a former teacher, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's shortly before the age of retirement. And the story goes on to tell and show how this husband dealt with his wife, suffering increasingly from her disease, which is a humbling and difficult disease. And part of the story tells how this husband, in coping with this increasing pressures at home and at work, because of his wife in her condition, he took on the habit of and the exercise of jogging, just as an outlet. But in that exercise of jogging, he met another jogger, a sharp-looking woman. And the story unfolds in relating their growing attraction and growing association with each other. He began to like this woman. He began to visit her home. But in the end, by the grace and strength of God, this man decided not to go onward in that relationship with this woman, who seemed so appealing. For he knew it meant being unfaithful to his wife, who didn't even know him anymore. And it meant being unfaithful to his God. The man, as the story unfolds, was given the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. And as you read and witness this story, you cannot help but be so glad for the right choice the man made. Especially also for his children and extended family, but also for his wife, and also for his witness regarding the gospel. I mean, compared to what could have happened and would have been, if he would have gone on further, it would have easily developed into an adulterous secret relationship, unfaithfulness. If you haven't read the book or watched the DVD, I encourage you, just Google it. A Vow to Cherish. And you will see indeed how positive is the fruit of faithfulness. How sour is the fruit of unfaithfulness. The opposite of unfaithfulness is so negative, so destructive and demeaning. The devil in his temptations to unfaithfulness always makes it so appealing, but it's appalling. Always unfaithfulness in any way ultimately bites and stings and disappoints and robs us of true comfort in body and soul. And it spoils our witness as confessing Christians. Whereas faithfulness, especially in God's ways, even when it calls for great self-sacrifice and involves real hardship of various kinds, even the loss of life sometimes, yet it proves to be the most blessed way, leaving also such a good example to others. This fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, will anyone here not reach out for it and ask for it and pursue it also this coming season, seeing that it is such needed fruit and how it's given fruit graciously and freely so, and it's such positive fruit. Notice further too, fourthly, what an attractive fruit the fruit of faithfulness is. And it follows it being a positive fruit. And here I won't say much except that while unfaithfulness, if we are honest, is always unattractive and not something that draws you to a person, yet surely when someone has this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, it's a virtue that's attractive. It draws you to people. The student, the child, the leader, the church member, the spouse, the business person, the consistory member that is showing faithfulness and trustworthiness is someone you don't mind to be with, someone you feel safe in being with, someone you enjoy to be with and even want to be with. And I mean with this fourth point about attractive, it's attractive, this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, it's attractive especially for the gospel and the cause of God and His church. When people demonstrate this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. How many, you may know these people too, how many there are who wrongly and inexcusably are turned off from the Christian church and the gospel, pointing to church people and confessing believers who have shown them in some or other more the way of unfaithfulness than faithfulness. And they hold grudges and are bitter about it for the rest of their life. And they even turn away from the gospel because of it. Are you interested in bringing good to the Christian church and promoting the increase and the glory of God's gospel cause and the beauty of it and praise to our faithful Savior? Then we need to take care to show forth this fruit of faithfulness. Steadfast faithfulness in God's ways. Christ-like faithfulness in all our relationships and responsibilities. Any Christian profession and confession without this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, does more damage than good. But with this fruit of faithfulness, you bring attraction to God's gospel cause and power. Will you too be conscientious then about this fruit of faithfulness, knowing how in our day many people are not reading the Bible, but only reading our lives to see if it makes any difference, saying you're a Christian or not. So often it's true, isn't it? There can be a spurt of faithfulness from us. I think of it at the beginning of Bible seasons or the beginning of something. We can have a real spurt of faithfulness, but all too often and all too soon it can peter out. And those who pray unfaithfully are more a minority than a majority. Too many just want to coast through life rather than steadfastly advance through life, ever looking to Jesus and following after Him wholeheartedly and not half-heartedly, faithfully and not unfaithfully. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Don't we need a revival? A revival of the Spirit's work. Also in blessing us with this fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Will you be part of this revival? Will you pray for it and pursue after it and promote it? Or are you depending on and even demanding other people's faithfulness in all kinds of ways, but not conscientious nor diligent about faithfulness yourself in your own life, at home, at school, at work, and in church? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. There's still one more reason why I want to hold out this fruit with the appeal that it be a fruit you ask for and follow after in your life, as I in mine. And that is the Bible and the Lord Jesus makes so clear, doesn't He? This fruit is such a promising fruit. The fruit of faithfulness. It's a promising fruit. In the passage we read from Matthew 25, Jesus surely teaches us, doesn't He? Among other things, this truth, faithfulness, comes with its own reward. What is clear how God will graciously reward faithfulness in His ways, in an abundant measure we now can even ask or think of. The man who buried his talent was one who lived unfaithfully before God and man. And he was punished accordingly, wasn't he? Even with eternal punishment. But to those who lived faithfully, oh, how they were rewarded in this life already. And Jesus implies in the life to come, even so much more still. I want to hear in the day of reckoning, by God's grace, those words of Jesus, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The opposite of hearing those words is that dreadful verdict depart from me, ye cursed, ungrateful, irresponsible, unprofitable servants, unfaithful ones, depart into utter darkness. Jesus shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus exhorts in the letter to the church in Smyrna, and he speaks as the one who is faithful and true. And he says there in Revelation 2 verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. When you receive it, you'll know it's all undeserved. Because if you're faithful unto death, it's because of His faithfulness to you and to me. Faithfulness in God's ways, trusting Christ, and being trustworthy in all of life in God's ways, to God's praise, in accordance to His Word, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm holding it out to you from God's Word, asking in Jesus' name, will you seek for this and pursue after this fruit, so needed and graciously given to those who ask, and so positive fruit and such attractive fruit and so promising? Is it what it's really, isn't it, what characterizes and describes true Christianity? Is it what describes and characterizes you too by God's grace? And is this what you desire and pray and aim for? This fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Yes, all this day and in the coming months and for as long as you live. I guess that's what divides the true believers from the hypocrites. And from the unbelievers, doesn't it? The fruit of the Spirit, also the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. In 3 John, verse 5, the inspired apostle says to Gaius, listen to what he says, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do to the brethren and to strangers. You do faithfully whatever you do. Oh, isn't that the kind of Christian testimony you want to and seek to have? With Galatians 5:22, I tell you in Jesus' name, such is not beyond reach for any one of us by God's grace through faith in Christ, following after His Word and praying the Spirit also, for this fruit of the Spirit worked by Him, it can be something that truly does blossom in your life and mine, and more to the final day. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing, ever requesting and ever reflecting the fruit of the Spirit. Also, this fruit of faithfulness. Thus saith the Lord. Amen.